You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Okay, friends, we started this year by reminding ourselves about love. I really felt over Christmas, God laying it on my heart to begin this year in this way. We've got great plans, and I've got so many wonderful sermon series lined up for this year, but it all really should be built on a foundation. And I wanted to start it on this foundation, remind us about the message of love we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, and I'm concluding it today. We've reminded ourselves that not only is love... And even for us as Christians, we need to be reminded of this. Because can we just be honest for a second? Even though we should be known by our love, John's gospel, it's by how you love one another that the world will know you are my disciples. That's not always what we are known for. And so we've reminded ourselves that not only is love the central ethic of the Christian faith, but it is also the defining mark of a Christian life lived. But it is also the primary evidence, as we read Scripture, it tells us, the primary evidence of the work of God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit in us. And so I wanted to remind us of this message of love for two clear reasons. This message that Jesus modeled, taught, left with us. And in fact, that the Great Commission flows out of this commandment of, hear people. Do you want life to make sense? Then firstly, love God, your Creator, with all that you are and all that you have. And then from that abundance of living in God's love and loving Him back, the second thing I instruct you is then go and love your neighbor as you love yourself. The golden rule. Go and do to others what you want them to do to you. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. For two reasons. Number one, this. Because love, as the Bible understands it and teaches us this agape, this sacrificial, selfless way of living towards one another, seeking the best for those around you, is a message our world now more than ever not only needs to hear, but now more than ever need to see in action. And if not us, then who? Followers of the one who said, go and love your neighbor. And the second reason is, well, in the context of a new year. We find ourselves, and my goodness, already this first month is nearly done. But we find ourselves at the start, at the beginning of a new year, where traditionally people take a moment, and I really hope you do, take a moment to reflect and think upon and be intentional about the kind of person I want to be this year. The direction, as much as it is up to me and by God's grace, that I want my life to go. We find ourselves at a time of the year where historically people work out New Year's resolutions or mission statements or faith decrees or whatever it is that you call it. And if you haven't, I will strongly urge you to do so. To take time and reflect and write down. And so part of the goal of this series has been to help you and give you some pillars upon which to build your New Year's resolutions, if you will. Some foundation stones to incorporate. And so we've got four R's so far that I've given to us to say, will you build 2025 on these things? And today it's the last one, the fifth one. Shall we remind ourselves quickly? The first R, and I have to just be honest with you, the fifth R today is a bit of a stretch. I was running out of R's. But the first one was this, hey, can we just remind ourselves that we were created to receive God's love? And so I commit this year to let God love me. And that's easier said than done, actually. But I commit to let God love me this year. The second thing, then we said then from that place, not only was I meant to receive, but I meant to reciprocate God's love. I meant to love Him back. And so therefore this year, I resolve, I commit to unraveling what loving God back in 2025 is going to look like for me. How is it going to be different from last year? And then thirdly, out of that abundance and storehouse, I'm reminded that I'm meant to live a life that reflects God's love. And so I commit, I resolve this year in 2025 to be more loving to more people. And then number four last week was in the realization that we, as we live life, get things disordered very quickly. I commit and resolve to reordering my love, what and how I love. I resolve to love the right things in the right way because I so easily grow to love things I was meant to love. I was never meant to love. And the things I was meant to love, I don't love. And so I resolve to reorder my love, loving the right things in the right order. And then today, in conclusion, the final R, which is a stretch, I'll give it to you, but nonetheless, I'm trying to stick with it. None of this will be possible unless I rely upon the Holy Spirit. Unless I rely, I'm reliant upon, I refer to, I request, I rope in. You can see I was researching ours. But I say that I will never ever be fully able to faithfully and truthfully and sincerely reflect God's love to those around me unless I am reliant upon, invite the guidance of the Holy Spirit and yield to the will of the Holy Spirit. And so I resolve this year as I build my heart 25 is going to go to be reliant upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's talk about that for a few minutes and then we'll pray and we'll go and live our faith in the world. Do you remember in the 1990s? So hang on to this idea, a reliance, a resolve to be reliant upon the guidance and instruction of God's Spirit, inviting God's Spirit into every conversation, every meeting, every moment of my day. Guide me, lead me, I invite you, I rely upon you. I want to refer to you, Holy Spirit. Where to, how to, when, what? Not only do I want to invite you into my relationships, into my every moment, into my comings and goings, but I want to yield to your will. I want to yield my will to your will. And then I will be able to reflect God's love faithfully and obediently. So with that in mind, do you remember in the 1990s, and in fact, can I just say how I remembered this was, I saw one of our young people working at a shop this week, and He's not here today. And he was wearing this thing, and that reminded me. Remember in the 1990s, there were, or early 2000s, because I don't think he was born in the early 90s. There was this craze in the church. There was this fashion in the church, these bracelets with four letters printed on them. Do you remember it? Please just put up your hand if you remember what I'm talking about. Okay, right. We're on the same page. WWJD. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, now, who still wears one? There we go. I love it. Okay, there we go. For those of you who don't know what we're on about, there was this thing in the church in the 90s and early 2000s, and everybody wore these bracelets. I wore one for a long time with these four letters, WWJD, printed on it, and it stood for What Would Jesus Do? A good question, although I think a better question actually would be, because I'm not Jesus, would be, what would Jesus have me do? Would be better. Anyway, that's, you can't really print that, so we'll just stick with. And so this question, remember that craze, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do? Was really just what's the truth behind it? What's the desire? What's the heart behind it? Jesus, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to respond in this situation? What is it? It's about this reliance upon the Holy Spirit. It is just a phrase, a question that was coined to help us live this heart's desire of God. I need your guidance, Holy Spirit, if I am to reflect your love. It was a good idea, because the idea behind it was, before every meeting, before every decision that I make, before acting upon something, before responding to a situation or responding to someone, I would see this bracelet and I would be reminded, what would Jesus have me do here now? And it was really the underlying theological truth is, I want to submit my will to your will, Holy Spirit, because that's what the question is. It is an invitation to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct me in this moment, in this situation. So maybe we should all get those bracelets again. Because I want to invite and yield every moment of every day to your Lordship, Holy Spirit. And so the last pillar, the last stone in our message of love is that we will only be able, if you and I resolve and commit to every day, when you take your feet out of your bed and you're still sitting in your bed, as your feet hit the ground and you sit there before you even get up out of your bed, that your first thought and first response for that day will be, Lord, Holy Spirit, I invite and yield my life to your guidance and Lordship. Will you guide my feet and my hands and my mouth? Today I've got a lot of meetings. Holy Spirit, I invite you. What would you have me do and say? Every time I go on a pastoral visit, even though I've been doing this for 30 years, every time I go on a pastoral visit, and sometimes it happens and I can't really plan for it, I sit in the car, I go to the address, wherever it might be, and before I get out of the car, this is my prayer. Holy Spirit, I invite your guidance. Will you guide my words? Will you help me to know what to do and say to these people that I've come to see? And then I yield to your direction and instruction and guidance. And in doing that, I will reflect your love in a way that on my own I will never ever be able to do. So this idea that this question was born out of is interesting. This idea of understanding that faith is not just something that happens in here, but it's something that is ultimately to be lived out there. This idea of living a life imitating Christ. What would you have me do, Jesus? Has been with Christianity since the beginning. In the 1400s, what's his name? Thomas A. Kempis wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ. Who's read it? Okay, we could be friends. the imitation of Christ. And in this, his heart's expression is one of, I want my life to be an imitation of Jesus. What would Jesus do? Which is nothing other than an invitation to, Holy Spirit, I want to rely upon you to direct me. But just interesting, just a little side note. This bracelet, what would Jesus do? Can I tell you where the idea really comes from? It comes from a book that was written in 1890 by Charles Sheldon called In His Steps. And so just very quickly, a summary of the book, what the book was about. It was written about a fictional pastor who was sitting in his office at home working one day, and the doorbell goes. And at the door is this sickly... An old man, obviously been spending time living on the streets and all haggard and worn and not in a good space. And he was saying, can you help me in some way, some work or some help in some way? And the pastor's response was, listen, because he was busy doing his sermon prep, right? He's like, listen, I cannot help you. I've got no work for you. I've got nothing to give you. I'm busy. You're interrupting me. And he sent the man away. And so anyway, that Sunday you get to church and the pastor preaches his sermon, and it was a great sermon. But in the congregation was this man. And at the end of the sermon, after they sung the final hymn, this man stood up and came to the front and wanted to say something. And this is what he says, and I'm going to read it for you. He said, it seems to me, there is an awful lot of trouble in the world that somehow wouldn't exist if all the people singing these hymns would go out and live them. Then he asked this question, I wonder, what would Jesus do? And that's where this idea came from. The idea behind this question, what would Jesus do, is really just an invitation to the work and the power of the Holy Spirit into our every moment of every day. And I want to say to you, church, as we wrap up our conversation on love, will you build that as the fifth pillar cornerstone of your foundation upon which you will build this year? I resolve in 2025 to live a life reliant, dependent, referring to, inviting the guidance and work of the Holy Spirit in every moment of every day. Now, the Bible already gives us a clear direction of the heart of God and what would be the direction that the Holy Spirit will take us and guide us in. There are 205 passages in Scripture that deals with love. Let me read you a few of them, just so that we understand as we invite the Holy Spirit and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, this is going to be kind of what it's going to look like. There is a clear direction how the Holy Spirit leads and guides. Here's kind of how it's going to look. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. So don't go, Holy Spirit, surely I'm hearing wrong, when you are asked to live love sacrificially. 1 Corinthians 13:2, if I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Galatians 5:14, all the law has been fulfilled in a single statement, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So don't think you heard incorrectly when you heard the Holy Spirit guide and lead you to maybe cook a meal and go and deliver it to your 90-year-old neighbor. Surely not, Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. 1 John 3, but if someone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that? Little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. 1 John 4, dear friends, let's love each other because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God because God is love. 1 John 4:20, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God who they have not seen. This commandment we have from him, those who claim to love God ought to love their brothers and sisters also. I want to read it. It is time the church is reminded of the message of love because our world needs to hear it and see it in action. Do you get the idea? Do you get the picture that there is a driving pattern, a prime directive given to us who sit here and who sing and say, we are followers of the one. We are followers of the way. Do you know what the way is? Love. That's the way. What would Jesus have me do? He would have me love. In 1966, there was an ethics professor at Harvard University, and he was wrestling with the same idea. How can I live out this desire to want to yield my life to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? This was before the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. And he thought, how can I help people live ethically? And he said, as I read the New Testament, it can all be summarized with agape love. And so his question was not what would Jesus do. Here's another one. His question became that he would preach and share with everybody and how he chose to live his life. His question was, what is the most loving thing to do? What is the most loving response now? What is the most loving thing to do? You want to say that with me? Just to make sure you're still awake. What is the most loving thing to do is nothing other than an invitation to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and an openness. Lord, I'm open for you to show me what is the best response here. What is the most loving way to react to this thing or this person or this moment? This is such an important question. This, what is the most loving thing to do? Because this is such an important question to help us yield to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because most of the time that's not the question that drives our lives. The question that really drives our lives is what's the most convenient thing to do. And the most convenient thing is hardly ever the most loving thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying. Because our way is doing the thing that requires the least amount of sacrifice, the path of least resistance. Love, and to reflect God's love, requires and will always require sacrifice. It's not easy loving people. Because it's not easy loving me. You know what I mean? But we see this in the life of Jesus. No, that's not where you were supposed to say amen. You got that wrong. I'm almost done. We see this reflected in the life of Jesus. From his birth to his resurrection and everything in between, he incarnated love. His entire life was, how can I live in such a way that will help you know and experience God And then he calls his disciples, you and me, to do the same. Some of his last words on earth were, go and make disciples. I want to say one important thing about this, inviting the Holy Spirit to reflect God's love, whether I do it by a question, what would Jesus do, or a bracelet, however I do that, but I resolve to commit to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I want to say one thing about this. So often when we talk about reflecting God's love and living a life yielded and open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we think about big things. It's always big things. Oh, it means now I'm going to have to resign from work, or now I'm going to have to this. And it's not. The first thing I want to say to us, it is something that we are all called to do, not just pastors or volunteers or Sunday school teachers. We are all called to this. And what we discover is that it is in the small, seemingly ordinary gestures of love and kindness, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, that make the biggest difference. And we can all do that. On the 29th of December, for illustration, 29th of December, a family invited us to their home for a meal. And we did not know this, but we discovered later that in their culture, there is a traditional Christmas Eve meal that is the highlight of the year. It's like on national television. They teach you how to cook this traditional meal. And historically, they would have this meal on Christmas Eve. This family did not have their meal on Christmas Eve. They postponed it, and instead they chose to have it with us on the 29th. Talk about something small, but yet makes me feel so loved that you would leave your Christmas Eve meal and have it with me 5 days later. What does it do? It makes me feel loved. It's something small, and it then in turn inspires me to be more loving towards you. That's how the world works. That's how Jesus intends for it to go. In the small things. Our setup team yesterday spent hours and hours here dealing with one problem after the other. Small yet sacrificial, making a big difference that we can all sit here and enjoy worshiping our God. It was my birthday a few weeks ago. Someone who lives somewhere by Utrecht baked me a cake, drove all the way to my house to come and drop it all for me. I would imagine having been inviting the Holy Spirit and open to yield my will, because listen, Alsmeer is a long way from Utrecht and my will is really not to go there. But I will yield to your will. A small thing, but a big difference, because what happens, I feel so loved that it inspires me to now I've got to be nice to you. Now I want to love you back. Can you see how it works? The small things. Remember, I had my wisdom teeth taken out. Remember that? My first day back at the office, I come back to the office, and there was a note on my desk with a 5 euro note. From the tooth fairy, thank you for your teeth. Now, can I just say this to you? I still have that 5 euros. I'm never going to use it. Because it stuck with the note. It is something small, but it is so beautiful. It is so loving. It is so thoughtful that you would think about me to do that for me. It makes me feel like jeepers. Now I've got to go and be nice. Do you see how it works? It's in the small things when we yield our lives and rely upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we reflect God's love, and our world will be transformed when the people of God understand this is who we are meant to be. Talk about sacrificial love. I just wanted to mention one quick thing to you. Previous year, Christmas Eve, our offering was 11,000 euros that we sent to the Nieuwe Stad. This last Christmas Eve, over 15,000 euros you gave sacrificially, and we're going to give it all to the Nieuwe Stad because we want to reflect God's love. You see, you just gave, you didn't give 15,000 euros. You gave your bit. But together, everybody doing their bit, make, oh, well, there you go. I've got to stop now. But together, when each one of us are guided by the Holy Spirit, doing my little bit, my small thing, we put it together, we change the world together, people of God. I want you to listen to a video clip, an audio clip. It is 1 minute long. And then I'm going to ask you to guess where I took this clip from. But I want you to close your eyes and listen to the words, and I'm going to close in this way. Let's listen to the words.
Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive, when love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more.
Beautifully said. Do you know where that's from? It was preached by the Archbishop of the Episcopal Church from America, at Harry and Meghan's wedding. Now listen, to preach that to a cathedral full of world leaders took a lot of guts. But friends, what the world would look like when each one of us individually and collectively as a community resolve to practice the way of living that Jesus intended and so, by the way, made possible on the cross. Because we can only love because he loved us first. And all that Jesus in his life wanted us to understand is that it begins with us. When he said, go. And live my love. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, here today, we pray. With as much sincerity and truthfulness as we can muster. And ask, may we be more loving, more forgiving, more gracious toward one another. Lord, help me to daily invite your guidance and instruction into my every moment, my every situation, and then give me the strength and desire to yield my will to yours. And in doing so, faithfully reflect your love to those around me and doing my part in creating form where there is formlessness, light where there is darkness, life where there is death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.